Part A.
Open your Bibles to Galatians, the third chapter. On Sunday morning, we are in a special study called, in theology, we call it teleology. And teleology is a term that describes all that's necessary for spiritual growth, maturity in the Christian way of life in the church age. And we are in a discussion on 12 of the key essential doctrines for spiritual growth momentum to stabilize you in the devil's world. These are 12 doctrines that are personal to me. They are the doctrines that shook my world for Christ, and I'm sharing them with you. We are in Galatians, and we are in the third chapter, and we're looking at verse 27, 28. In the doctrine called positional truth, in theology, we call it sanctification. But sanctification is a very difficult doctrine to get mechanics. It's when you study it theologically, it gets too theological. And it's not mechanical enough, in my mind, for the guy sitting in a pew to be able to walk away and say, okay, this is what this means to my life, and this is how I'm to approach it and use it. And so I think positional truth teaches a better concept to the mechanics of sanctification. In Galatians, the third chapter, verse 27, 28, he says, for all of you, and by that he means, verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. How do I become a son of God? Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in what about Jesus Christ? Because faith is always faith in what? And the object of your faith is what settles your decisions and what motivates you in that direction. Faith in what? You know, faith in the seat, faith in a car, faith in a person, faith in what? Faith is a common denominator of human life. The question is, faith in what? And he says, you become a son of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in what about Jesus Christ? And it's very simple. It has nothing to do with works. You don't become a son of God based on works. You become a son of God based on faith. Notice it said faith. Did not say works, it said faith. The question is not, how do I become a son of God? I become a son of God by faith. Faith in what? In Jesus Christ. What about Jesus Christ would cause me to become a son of God? And that is that Jesus died on a cross for your sins, was buried and raised from the dead the third day. We call that the gospel. If you believe that, Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God to salvation to secure for you identity in Christ. One of those 50 things that you receive at the moment of salvation you can never lose in the time of eternity is that you're a son of God. And you got it by faith. You didn't get it by works, therefore you don't keep it by works. You have it by faith. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you receive what he is. He's the son of God. You become a son of God. And you get there because you believe that he died for you because you accepted the gospel. You're never going to lose it, neither in time and eternity. It's not based on your character, it's based on God's. God said that if you accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, I will make you a son of God forever. And it's based on the integrity of God, the fact that you're a son of God from the day of salvation for all eternity is based on the integrity of God. The integrity that God is true to his word. And positional truth teaches you that. It teaches you that aspect of sanctification. So in verse 27, having identified that we are sons of God through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says, as sons of God through faith in Christ, all of you were baptized, all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. See that word clothed? I mean, what does that mean? See, you read that stuff and go like, you know, page 2, Because what does that mean? Today I'm going to tell you what that means. It means 20 status privileges, your identity with Christ. Listen, baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, when does that occur? It's one of eight it's one of eight works of the Holy Spirit to point to salvation. One of eight. At the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you believe He died for your sins, was buried and raised from the dead, gospel. When you believe that, the Holy Spirit, one of eight works of Holy Spirit salvation, baptizes you in the union with Christ. Here's what I want you to do. Put a little cross at the top of your paper. Put a cross at the top of your paper. Make you a cross. It don't have to be a big one now, just for your eyes. All right, you got the cross with that? Go to the foot of the cross. You know, that's where you should live in it. Go to the foot of the cross. And put your pencil right there at the foot of the cross. All right, now you got a cross that looks like this. Look up here. You got a cross that looks like that, right? Go down the foot and draw a line up like that. Go down to the foot of the cross. Look, here's the cross right here, and just draw a line up like you're going to heaven. And right there at the top, draw right at the top of that line, just put a little mark. Just put a little mark. I don't care what mark you put, just put a little mark. Now, from the foot of the cross to the top of that line, somewhere on that line that's going up like that, you got a line going up like that? Come on, children, this is class. I'm the teacher now, come on. Somewhere on that line, put BHS. You got that? That stands for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The moment you come to the cross, by that I mean the gospel, and believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit at that point, at the point of the cross, at the point of salvation, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into union with Christ. So at the top of that circle where you drew a little something, put Christ. And that represents Him seated in heaven. That's heaven. Put Christ, and that's heaven. Because Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven today. So here you are on earth, and you've come to the foot of the cross. You've believed that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and raised from the dead. The moment you believe, the Holy Spirit did one of eight. One of those is baptized with the Holy Spirit into union with Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Boom, there you are. Feet still on earth, souls in heaven. For all practical purposes, positionally, boom, there you are, positionally. Now, experientially, you're still on earth. Ring-a-ding-a-ding, hello! The telephone still rings. You're on earth. You understand? Your feet are still on earth. But listen, your soul has already been recorded for heaven. It's already in the book of life. You understand? Boom, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit baptized me into union with Christ, and my name is written in the book of heaven. And it'll never, never, never change. That's a given. That's positional truth. That's called positional truth. When He baptizes you in union with Christ, boom, right there, you become clothed with Christ on earth, positionally. Everything that He is, you become. He is now your identity on earth. He is your identity in heaven, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. The question is, when you die, you're in His presence. The question is, when you're alive, is He in yours? When you die, you go to His presence. The question is, while you're alive, is He in your presence? That's another work of the Holy Spirit. But you're always in His presence, even when you're absent, because your name is there. And your name will always be there once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, do you know who you are with your feet on earth and your name in heaven? Do you know who you are? Do you know what that means? Do you know how you've been clothed with Christ? Did he not say you've been clothed with Christ? One more time. As a son of God, faith in Christ, all of you who were baptized into Christ, baptism of the Holy Spirit, Romans 6 chapter, have clothed yourself with Christ. Listen. Now listen to me. If you've clothed yourself with Christ, and you have, if you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and you have, if you believe Jesus died for your sins and was buried and raised from the dead, are you with me? All right. If that happens, you get clothed. Here's what it means to be clothed. Your identity in who you are now in this world, however the world has identified you. Put the word identity. Put the word up there at the front top of the paper. Put the word identity. Or you can just put a big capital I. Now here's what I want to ask you. How does the world identify you? All right? You've got jobs and careers and families, and they're all those identities. Here's the one I'm after. Those are natural clothing. Here's the one I'm after. How do you feel about yourself? Listen to me. How do you feel this morning about yourself? How do you identify yourself this morning? Fat and ugly, loser, bum. How do you feel about yourself? Now let me tell you, this is what gets people down in the dumps. This is what causes people to be depressed. This is what causes people to take drugs and drink alcohol and do crazy stuff. It's because of how they feel about themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Quit that. Quit that. Because it's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Well, that's the way I feel about myself. That's what other people feel about me. I know they do. I know they do. I know they do. Quit that. Quit. Quit that. Because I'm going to tell you something. You've been clothed with Christ. You've been clothed with Christ. And stop listening to the devil tell you that you're a loser. You know that one? Well, you need to hang out with some kids. You've been around adults too much. You know, everything is text today. We text everything today. So, you don't let people tell you that you're a loser, that you're no good, that you can never make it. You've already made it. It's accepting it. You've been clothed with Christ. Take those old clothes off. That way you feel about yourself is a lie. Put up there lie. Right up there by the word big, you got a big I up there? Put letters lie, L-I-E. It's a lie. You've been clothed with Christ. That's grace. Listen, this is what the world thinks about you. This is the way they beat up on you. This is the way the devil gets you away from Christ and gets your head in the sands rather than in the heavens. He gets you to bury your head on earth rather than lift it up high in heaven. Colossians 3rd chapter tells us to seek those things. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things. What does it mean to set my mind on things above? You mean like airplanes and birds? No, I'm talking about a little higher. Oh, the stars and the moon? I mean higher. I'm talking about set your mind on the things of Christ. I've never met so many beaten up Christians in my whole life as I've met in the last 10 years. I've never seen anything like it. You wouldn't know we've ever been born again. The world has got the Christians beat up to where they can't hold their heads up, and they're just, listen, positional truth says you got every reason to walk tall. You are David, and the world is Goliath, and God makes the difference. God makes you a head taller than any problem in this world. But you have to understand, you've been clothed with Christ. Wear the clothes of Christ and quit wearing the clothes of the world. The clothes of the world make you a beggar. Care what you've been. I don't care what the world tells you. I don't care how they tag you. Lift your head up. You've been clothed with Christ. And this morning, I'm going to give you a wardrobe. I'm going to fill your closet up this morning, buddy. You need to listen to me because I'm going to listen. You came in a beggar with ragged clothes from the world. When you leave here today, I'm going to fill your wardrobe up. I'm going to tell you who you are in Christ. You lift your head up and you become that person. These are titles for you now, not then. You don't have to die to get these titles. You've got to be born again to get them. So, we're talking about positional truth. The reason I like to talk positional truth is for this kind of reason, mechanics, instead of talking sanctification. But in theology, they call it sanctification, they call it positional, they call it experiential and ultimate. They talk about positional sanctification, salvation, they talk about experiential sanctification, the Christian way of life, and they talk about ultimate, which is you in eternity, the believer in eternity. But it doesn't teach you mechanics. It doesn't teach you to not let the world beat you up and call you names when you've got the names that are written in heaven. So, we talk about positional truth. I want to talk about four or five aspects. This is our second lesson in this. This is our second lesson. And you recall from last week, there is one part of positional truth that is very important. We call it retroactive positional truth. The reason that's important is because positional truth is based on a Greek preposition. Positional truth in theology is based on Greek preposition. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, which is on your paper, look down there on your paper, point number one, I'm going to show you where positional truth comes from in theology. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For as," and that's comparison. Notice, "for as, so also." See that on your paper? I got it underlined for you. "For as, so also." This is a comparison. "So as," right? "For as, so also." Are you with me? In other words, we're going to talk about two realms. We're going to talk about two realms. All right. Then he uses a preposition. The word "in" is what we say in the Greek language, "in" plus a locative of place or position. That's where we get the idea. That's where it comes from. So it says, "For as in Adam all die." Now I'm going to show you something that's showing in the English is very important. In the Greek language, which is not there in English, but in the Greek language, there's a definite article. It doesn't say "in Adam," it says "in the Adam." That's specific. You see, that's very important. Then he comes over to the other side, and he says it again. He says, "In Christ, all will be made alive." So in Adam, all are dead. In Christ, definite article, with Christ, definite article. which is making us stand apart. In other words, a definite article here that separates this from this definite article here, which separates this, and these are two federal heads of the human race. Everybody is born physically in Adam and dead. You've got to be born again in Christ to be alive spiritually. You're born spiritually dead, physically alive, spiritually dead in Adam, first birth. Second birth, I'm born in Christ. Second birth. And I'm alive, spiritually alive. That's positionally. Now, how will I ever know it? Well, you ought to know it by the way your life is taking on with God. But if you die, you go to heaven. You go like, ooh. But how do I know that I'm okay here? Because God says you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, how'd I get there? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got it at the top of your paper, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit would place me in the union with Christ. That union can never be broke. John the 10th chapter, 28 through 30, says that union can never broke because I'm in the hands of God, who is in the hands of Christ, and no one can get him out of the hands. I'm in the good hands, people. All right? So that's the deal. All right. So that's where positional truth comes from. Listen, everybody's born into Adam, first birth. You've got to get into Christ, you've got to be born again. How do I get born again? I got to believe that Jesus died for my sins, was buried and raised from the dead the third day. Boom, I'm in Christ. There it is. I'm in, I can't get out. I'm in Adam, I can't get out apart from Christ. I'm in Christ, I can't get out ever. It's an eternal life sentence. In Christ, positionally. There it is.
This concludes part A. Please select part B to continue.